Welcome to Newest, Latest, Best, the quick daily show to keep you in the know with all of the newest information, latest releases, and the very best that games have to offer. I'm Jeff Cannata, and today is Saturday, December 30th, 2017. This has been such a fun week, spending every day counting down toward the end of 2017, talking about your favorite games of the year. You guys have been sending in your top three games of the year, and I asked you to include at least one, either as one of your three or as an additional fourth game, with something that you think nobody else is going to bring up. A sleeper, a dark horse, a game that deserves more attention here at the end of the year, but too few people will bring it up. Something special just to you. And I've gotten a lot of really wonderful lists. So let's dive in. Remember, if you want to get your list in before the end of the year, you can send it to me via a call-in. Just download that Anchor app, press the call-in button, and you can record your voice and send it right in. All right, let's start today with a list from Matt.
This is Matt from Eugene with my top three. I'm going to start with my dark horse, which is Shadow of War. The system with the online fort raids, all the orcs you can get it. It just gives me the feeling like I'm playing a really good board or a card game. I honestly, just playing online with random people, building my deck of orcs, so to speak, it's just giving me a rush that I really haven't felt since playing a good board game with some of my friends back in the day. Second would be Mario Odyssey. My fiance also loves this one. It's very charming, and you know, there's multiple days where instead of going out to a movie or a fancy dinner, she's wanted to stay home and play it, which, hey, it's basically already paid for itself. Can't complain with that. Last would be Wolfenstein. That game with its ultra violence and everything, it can be dismissed as being pretty ridiculous, but I think it has a pretty strong message at the end and has really inspired me to stand up to some of the hate in the world right now. So there's my top three.
Great list, Matt. Thanks for sending it in. Interesting that you call Shadow of War your dark horse, because how crazy is it that the sequel to what was a lot of people's game of the year in 2014 is now considered a dark horse or a sleeper game? It really, I think, isn't making the impact that the first game had, despite really expanding upon the Nemesis system that made such a splash back in 2014, and also despite the fact that nobody has really copied it. I predicted back in 2014, we were going to see an onslaught of games aping the Nemesis system, adapting it into various new interpretations across a whole swath of different kinds of games, and it just hasn't happened. I don't know if it just hasn't happened yet, or if it's not going to happen at all, but I really thought that was going to be sort of the next big thing in the video game world. I really thought it was going to be the new lens flare. You know, everybody was going to be doing it, and nobody really has. And yet, Shadow of War takes that system and really doubles down on it and adds a whole new level of remembering what you've done, impacting what you've done into future moments in the game. Characters that have a history with you, even buildings now have a history with you. And I think that's a really compelling idea and a really compelling system. And I was really hoping that a lot of games were going to use it and adapt it into new kinds of takes on that system. I still have that hope, but it's interesting to me that Shadow of War did not receive the same kind of reception that Shadow of Mordor did. And certainly you are not hearing it in the discussion for Game of the Year, as I thought, even coming out of E3, where I played a really large chunk of it, I thought, man, this is going to be one of those games that people are going to have to make room for in their lists of Games of the Year. And yet it really hasn't happened. Even on my other show, DLC, Christian Spicer was a huge super fan of Shadow of Mordor, and he was really disappointed in Shadow of War. I have to admit, I didn't play Shadow of War this year. It was a game that I skipped. I'm just a little burned out on the Lord of the Rings license. I don't know why that is. Why the Lord of the Rings license for me is just feels like a place I don't want to be in anymore. So I skipped it, but I'm glad you're bringing it up, Matt, because I haven't heard many people talk about it in such positive tones. And I love the fact that you're describing it as being like a board game. Certainly there are a lot of features in the game that are lifted from a tabletop strategy aesthetic. And I think that's really cool. If you dig Shadow of War for that reason, might I suggest trying Hand of Fate 2? You don't need to have played Hand of Fate to enjoy Hand of Fate 2, and I think Hand of Fate 2 is a superior game. It just came out this year as one of my sleeper games over on DLC, and it truly does mash up third-person action in a really compelling way with a tabletop-style, turn-based strategy layer. And I think you'll really, really dig it if that's why you're enjoying Shadow of War. Give it a shot. It's not even an expensive game. Indie game, lower price point. So I think you'll dig it. We have, of course, heard a lot of people praise Mario Odyssey over the last couple of weeks with their top threes. Mario Odyssey, probably the game I've heard mentioned most. It's interesting that you talk about it as being something you can play with your wife. I wonder how you're playing it. Are you doing life or level, switching back and forth, or are you using the two-player mode, the co-op mode that's included in Mario Odyssey? I ask that because my wife and I played it that way a little bit as well, and I just find the controls to be wacky and crazy. One person controlling the hat, one person controlling Mario, really requiring a crazy give and take. I thought it was a wild addition to the game, and I wonder if that's how you're playing it with your wife. Certainly either way, the game is a delight and worthy of being on all the lists that we've heard it on already this year. And then Wolfenstein. Talk about a departure from Mario Odyssey. Wolfenstein is crude and crass and vulgar and crazy and over the top and a work of imaginative fiction that is really, really pretty darn cool. It is an intense shooter, a game that whose shooter mechanics I just don't enjoy. I just don't like the way the shooter feels. But I can't help but admire the way the narrative is told and what it is trying to say. A really interesting, ambitious work for a first-person shooter. I mean, it is really trying to comment on society. It came out at a time that couldn't be more apt for what its subject matter is dealing with. Wild that a game about Nazis would be controversial in 2017, but here we are. I'm not in love with playing the game, but I am certainly in love with the message of the game and the way the message is conveyed. Crazy, intense, well-written, and with memorable characters, to say the least. All right, next up is a really awesome, different kind of list from Craig.
Hey, Jeff, this is Craig. I wanted to call in with my top three games of 2017. My list may be a little different because I haven't played many of the big games from 2017 yet. I like to wait for sales and play older games, so a few games from 2016 could have been on my list, but I've also been playing that Super Nintendo Classic. So anyway, here's my list from 2017. My number three is Danger Zone. It's essentially the remade version of the Crash Mode from Burnout 3, and I loved the Crash Mode from Burnout 3. You got your car, you're driving in intersections, crashing into cars, blowing stuff up. It's great fun. My number two is Dino Frontier on the PSVR. It's just such a delight. You're picking up your little dinosaurs, you're training your dinosaurs, you got your little people, building stuff. It's such great fun. And then my number one is Metroid Samus Returns. I'm a big fan of the Metroid games. This one's great, and it's got the great 3D, and it's a great game.
Hey, Craig, thanks for sending in your list. I love that you did it. I think some people feel pressure to have played all of the new hotness in order to weigh in on Game of the Year. And I love that you weighed in with your favorites of 2017, even though it sounds like you're playing mostly games that are a little older, and that's great too. But I love everybody's perspective on this year of games, and your list is a very interesting one. Danger Zone is a game that I kept meaning to try because, like you, I love the crash mode in Burnout. I miss the Burnout games. I know I am not exactly the most avid car dude. I don't dig racing games generally, but I do dig arcade racing games, and I loved the Burnout franchise. I put so many hours into the Burnout games. Because for me, the fantasy isn't driving the craziest, most expensive car. For me, the fantasy is crashing the craziest, most expensive car. And that is fun. Doing sweet jumps and smashing stuff up and just having a, you know, having that little kid Hot Wheels moment where you just take two cars and smack them together and do the loop-de-loop and throw them around the room. That's the kind of car guy I am. I'm not into the reverence for cars, but I do like the pure visceral speed thrill. And there aren't too many of those games around anymore. I know Danger Zone isn't all of that stuff. It is really very specifically just the sort of strategic crash mode from Burnout. But I've been meaning to play it, and I'm so glad to hear you've liked it enough to include it on your list. Your second game, though, I'm so in love with. I'm so in love with Dino Frontier. I'm glad you mentioned it. Too few people have played this game. I keep talking about it over and over again. I probably talked about it here on Newest, Latest, Best a bunch. I definitely talked about it on DLC a bunch. It was my number one sleeper game of the year. Dino Frontier is a pure delight. It needs to come out on PC. I think it's exclusive to PSVR for a while, but there's nothing quite like it. It is special and soulful and fun, and you just feel amazing. It's funny. It's charming. It's just wonderfully, wonderfully designed, and I'm so glad somebody else has got my back on Dino Frontier, because it is a very, very special game that nobody is talking about, that nobody appreciates as much as it deserves. So Dino Frontier, if you have PSVR, please give it a shot. It is so, so good. And then Metroid Samus Returns. Christian Spicer, my co-host on DLC, has talked at length about how much he loved that game. I did not play it. Again, I think I mentioned on a previous episode this week that I just didn't dust off my 3DS. I feel like I've progressed beyond 3DS. They need to re-release this game on the Switch. There's really no reason for them not to, other than, I guess, selling more 3DSs or serving that market. But if that was put out, if Samus Returns was put out on Switch, I'd be playing it. I know, that's a weird reason, I suppose, but I'm glad it is a very good Metroid. We need more very good Metroids. I'm more of a Metroid Prime guy myself, but man, I love the franchise, and I'm glad to hear that Samus Returns knocked it out of the park. All right, more lists coming at you tomorrow as we get very close to the end of 2017.